Blog Talk Radio.
Paid the cost, all the time ain't never lost. The boss, y'all ain't heard it, I work it. The senior circuit, see some critics, and they don't get it, fire music. My aim is, forget what my name is. Yeah, I ain't famous to be famous. Remember Troy Davis, beware. Clive Davis wanted to be your art form, cause there's a party going on. Hotel, motel, I'm going in, don't care what they spent. Can't prevent the event. Some run to it, shun from it. Been through it, I still rock to it. I sue it, I've been sued, dude. With this new spit to spit in a beat go song. Come on.
Kick it, Chuck.
Never bitter but better. Back by the fact, all I got is my word. The new curse word is black. Don't keep me on this track. Don't keep me on this track. Don't take me off.
I got you, Chuck.
Better test is being at your best. The curse. It's living at your worst, crawling like a maggot out of their mind. Faster than a go-go 45. It's live, survive. How without a got? Reason why basketball wise ain't really wise. Bird dropping out of the sky, and y'all Google why? Why?
Kick it, Chuck.
Like that, it's the rebirth of Rant Radio. How have everyone been doing out there? So happy to be back. As you can see, my voice, it sounds different. That's part of the reason why I have not been doing the show for a while, is because of my voice. I got sick, at about with strep throat as well as with the flu all at one time, and my voice has not come back totally. And partially it's because of talking to the school nurse. I was talking to the school nurse who told me that part of the reason why I won't get my voice back fully is because my job entails me talking. So, of course, it's going to keep it inflamed. But with that being said, I had to come back, man, because, I tell you, I listen to everybody's shows, that either it's Blog Talk or local radio, and I'm listening to everybody's shows, and I feel like we got a lot of good people out there doing what they do, so I'm not mad at them for doing what they do, but no one does it like the way we do it, and that's the reason why we do it. It's because no one does it the way we do it. So with that being said, man, I want to welcome you all back. You know, there's a lot been going on since I've been gone, from the whole situation with Donald Trump and his presidency, to all the scandals that's going on, the tie into Russia, which if you go back to our show right after the election, I was one of the first people who talked about the connection to Russia based off of the things that I was reading previously before. Now, I did get some new information. I was watching CNN, and it was a bigwig that was on from Wall Street, and they were talking about how all the bankers on Wall Street knew about Trump not being able to get financed by American banks, and that most of his money was coming from Russian banks. Now, that's pretty big, because if you remember, they haven't released his tax returns. They haven't released a lot of important information and data about Trump. And part of this, if you must know, is because this is just a game. It's a TV series. They know that Americans are propped up. One of the greatest pastimes in America is watching TV or watching movies. And if you really watch what's going on with this whole situation with this president, it's like one big old TV show. So no one really knows exactly what's going on or how things are figuring out. But I will tell you this for sure. and I bet, you know, dollars to donuts, that if you keep watching, this thing is going to always evolve. And in the end, you know, at first I was thinking that Trump was going to be impeached, but the more I look at it, the more I use logic and reasoning, and I'm sitting back observing, man, the more I believe that he will not be impeached. I think that this thing will be dragged on, and we're going to find a lot, you know, if you're already walking around with your eyes open, which if you're listening to this show on a regular when we're on the air, I'm pretty sure you do have your eyes open, a very smart group of people listen to this show. If you are walking around with your eyes open and your ears pinned back to see and hear things, you can hear for the most part that this stuff was orchestrated not only by the Trump administration, but even the Obama administration, with the admins last night, which I saw over the news circuits, about how the Obama administration has stopped the FBI chief from coming out saying something about Donald Trump and his connections to Russia back in July. Now, this is before they allowed him to say what he said about Hillary Clinton. So just keep this in mind, you know, in both ways, you know, and look, I'm not pro-Hillary. I want to make that clear. Definitely, you know, Rant Radio, myself, Thomas Berry, I am not a fan of Hillary Clinton whatsoever. However, I will say at the end of the day, if it was all about Team Democrat or Team America, whatever you want to call it, you would think that the Obama administration, if they knew that this kind of espionage was taking place and it was about having the American people's best interest in hand, they would explore every option. Not only would they had went as far as to investigate, but if they had the information, they would have hung Trump out to dry, and this would have never been an issue. But like I said before, these are the things that if you're paying attention to and if you're listening to, hey, you know that these things are staged. This is just one big staged event. This is the United States and Russia having to deal with the fact that China is becoming a world power. And keep this in mind. I was just telling a brother this the other day, that white folks fought a 100-year war. And they stopped that war. And with the stopping of that war, they stopped it for white supremacy. Now, they always fight wars against each other, but it's been a while since the last world war that they actually had a fight with each other. They came up with all these international treaties, these international deals, where they don't fight against each other anymore. They pretty much go around the world raiding the coffers of poor countries, people of color, primarily. You know, you have to keep that in mind. Not just a little bit ago, Russia was a superpower. And if you think about Trump and you think about the teaming up with Vladimir Putin, I mean, they'd rather team up with Vladimir before they team up with the Chinese because, hey, at the end of the day, the Chinese still have melanin. And China has got a foothold inside of Africa, one that not even Barack Obama could have prevented or could have slowed down. That's part of the reason what this is all about. These things, these presidents, a lot of this is about natural resources as well as world or global domination. So keep your mind focused on that. The other thing that we're going to talk about today is the situation with my man Colin Kaepernick, the former San Francisco 49er quarterback who was out of work for taking a stand. Now, I know that brother stated that this year he will stand up for the flag. He felt like his point was made. I know a lot of people feel like he sold out. He been in the pressure. But I will say this much. You know, a protest is a protest. The man ain't supposed to protest forever. A lot of you were saying Black Lives Matter. You were going to the rallies. You were part of the 99% movement or whatever else. Some of your parents were part of the Black Panther movement. Some of them was Operation Push. Some of them was, related. Some of them Eastern Stars. Some of them, whatever. But, you know, it's amazing that how this brother, Colin Kaepernick, gets pressured from both sides. He's getting the pressure from African Americans who are saying, oh, no, brother was only doing it because he wanted, you know, to get props or because of Black Lives Matter. People are comparing him to Michael Sam. And I'll say this, you know, the difference between Colin Kaepernick and Michael Sam was simply this. Colin Kaepernick was already an NFL starting quarterback who took in his team to the Super Bowl, came one play away from winning it. Keep that in mind. Yeah, he's had a down 3 years, but the team hasn't been as good. And last year, if I'm not mistaken, brother recorded 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions by any starting NFL quarterback standard. That's pretty good, especially when you're playing on a team that had the lack of talent as the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I'm seeing a lot of us talk about boycotting the NFL. And I'll be the first to let you know, NFL is part of my religion. I watch religiously every Sunday for 17 weeks. But I will be real. Same thing I did for the NBA, which, if you know I'm from Indiana, basketball is inside of my blood. I stopped watching. No, actually, I didn't stop watching the NBA. I want to say it correctly. I used to get the NBA ticket, and I stopped getting the ticket once David Stern initiated the policy inside of the NBA that they were going to go to a dress code. And I felt like that was a slap against my culture. And if you're going to berate my culture, if you're going to dictate that you don't like what we do, but you want our talent, I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, I shouldn't be supporting you. Because if you're going to say hip-hop is what's wrong with these players, that's part of our culture. No, what's wrong with these players mostly is that we're stolen Africans playing your game for a little bit of nothing. Meanwhile, we can't even get our own people to get enough. You know, he sold Bob Johnson, the Bobcats, for almost triple the price. And meanwhile, he you know, to sell it to Michael Jordan, he took a big loss. So these are the things that I'm talking about. So if people want to boycott it, you know, I'm definitely down for boycotting the NFL ticket. Have no problem with not buying a ticket if brother does not find himself on the team. But I'll be the first to tell you, he's going to find himself a spot on the team. Just give it a little bit of time. It does take a little bit of pressure. I'm going to talk about some alternative things that I think within this hour that will be sharp. If he does not get a team, I'm kind of hoping that he don't get a team, because when I tell you all this later on in the hour, you're going to kind of laugh and chuckle and be like, oh, man, I see what you're talking about. So it's very important that we recognize that it's more than one way to skin a cat, and we can skin this NFL cat in more than one ways. So that's something else I wanted to talk about. The other thing that I haven't had a chance to chime in on is Rachel Dalzell, or whatever her name is, saying that she got herself a name by an African priest. Listen, y'all, I love my people in the continent, but they just struck by white folks just like how people in the States are. They can't wait for their white savior to come save them either. A lot of brainwashing has happened in the continent. One push that I'm always telling my African-American brothers and sisters is, hey, yes, we do have a lot of European traits because we are in America, but do not forget the influence that Africa has had on the European beforehand. But also don't forget the fact that a lot of our people over in the continent are heavy influential by Europeans. You got to remember, people are over there struggling and striving, and a lot of times the only people that come over to save them are Europeans. So they do see Europeans and the things that Europeans want as friendly. They might not see the entire thing. We're in the belly of the beast. We're cozy up next to the devil. The experience that we have allows us to see exactly what happens on the end of that help. So with that being said, I'm not shocked that some African priest would give her a name. But at the same time, she know goddamn well she ain't African. She know goddamn well she ain't black. And if she's talking about she's African because everyone's African, okay, I get it from that aspect, but you know exactly what you're trying to do. And you knew you were going around saying you were African-American when you went to Howard. You knew you were saying you're African-American when you were out there leading a part of the NAACP. And you know all this fronting that you're doing. Here's the thing that we have to remember is that our blackness is always being co-opted, not only by people like Rachel, but also by our own people. Blackness is something that we only bring out when it's for the latest dance, for the latest song, whether we're arguing about hip-hop, whether we're arguing about whose city is the craziest. But at the same time, when we're talking about protecting what's black, you know, we're talking about if someone tells a Christian that Jesus is black, they'll say the color don't matter. If we talk about, man, let's celebrate black love, well, man, love is blind. Love sees no color. So to me, at the end of the day, it's like, yo, we are starting to use black as a throwaway. And if you didn't see the movie Get Out, that's one of the biggest things I took away from the movie. I know Peele didn't mean it in that way, but to me, I feel like our melanin is very important, is very vital to our survival, but it's also something that we should be connected and respecting. It's something that we should be fighting for. We should be talking about the fact that Being black in this country allows us a unique experience like no other. So, no, you can't say the word nigga. And, hey, no, you can't be going around here acting as if you're one of us. You haven't been through our struggle. You cannot create some bootleg shoes / bootleg DNA and try to fit into our prison without going through our experience. She has never been through our experience. And when I say our experience, I'm talking about the option to not be anything but us. That's very important, the option to be nothing but us, to have to deal with what this system is throwing at us every day. And if you don't think the system ain't throwing anything to us, you must be off that for real, juice. I'll be back. Russia tried to hijack the U.S. election, according to the BBC News. Here's something that I want you guys to really focus in on, because even inside of Europe, they had the exact same problem. The Russians have been bragging quite openly inside of their own country, stating about how they were tampering with all these elections, not only in the U.S., but also in the U.K. These are things that you can find out with a simple Google. They got videos of Vladimir Putin and other officials bragging about it. It's not really hard to check out. The problem with America is America has so many things going on at one particular time. Now, something else I want to point out to all of y'all. I really do. Since President Obama has not been in office, have you seen many videos of African-American men or women being gunned down by the police department? Notice the absence of that in the presence of Trump. I want you to think about that and think about the void of that also while George Bush was in office. I just want you to think about that. Now, let's get back to this Russian thing, because I'm bringing that up because a lot of the distractions that we have, we fall victim to a lot. These distractions are what's holding us deeply away from looking and seeing. Now, I know we talked about the election. I know talked about on the show how we blamed a lot of African Americans for not participating in the election. Talked about Hillary Clinton winning the popular vote by 3 million. Then we also looked at places that were won by Trump in Wisconsin, and we looked at Ohio, we looked at Florida, and we saw how those went to Trump as well. Keep this in mind. All of these places were heavily influenced by the propaganda. Not only was it that influencing, but if they voted for Trump, what other local or state elections did they also swing to Republicans? This is very important because we have a corrupt electoral system. This Constitution needs to be rewritten. No one wants to talk about it. That's not up for debate in the United States. Remember, it says it on the Constitution. It's an experiment. With experiments, there's going to be failures and there's going to be success. But even with most experiments, you have to regroup recalibrate and figure out things that you're going to do to make the experiment successful. The main thing that I'm watching, and I hope that you're paying attention to, and I know you, Miranda's out there, you guys are pretty good at paying attention to this. It didn't start with Nunes. It started with Jeff Sessions. And I want you to keep that in mind. That's very important that we keep that in mind, and what role does Jeff Sessions play in this Trump White House? Because all of this started coming out. He started with the lies on President Obama first, saying that what President Obama, not Jeff Sessions, I want to make sure, Donald Trump saying that President Obama was tapping his phone. But it all came out because Jeff Sessions was said to have illegal ties with Russia. And then you start finding out, no, it's not Obama was tapping his phone. Obama and them already knew they were crooked. They already knew this. These are the things that I've been saying for the past 3-4 years on the radio. These are the things that I kept telling you. Meanwhile, we don't have white folks killing us, so we're not screaming Black Lives Matter. But another thing that we haven't begun to do, we haven't begun to show the Black Lives Matter. You know, we have to get back into the business of showing that Black lives really matter to us, not Black lives in the way that white people see us and the way that white people value us, but how do we see and value ourselves? This is a perfect time under Donald Trump because, like I keep telling you, the situation with the U.S. and Russia, it's all about white supremacy. And if you don't believe it, just keep paying attention. It's going to go from Russia, North Korea, and then it's going to be a problem between the U.S. and China because of North Korea. But always keep this in the back of your mind when you hear that the North Koreans are also tied to the Russians. That's where they're getting a lot of their technology from. So by proxy, the North Koreans doing what they're doing will set us up with a showdown with China, with the Russians helping us out. What Russia is doing, Russia is going back, reestablishing the same beefs from the breaking down of the Soviet Union under Ronald Reagan. Now, keep this in mind. Donald Trump is not a Republican. He is not. Donald Trump is just a bigot who knew how to carve a stitch in the Republican Party. And like he stated, hey, I can go and shoot somebody and no one will do anything, or walk up and grab them by the crotch. So if you're paying attention to these nightly news and they're constantly telling you these things about Donald Trump, remember, it was easier to indict Bill Clinton for a blowjob than what they have showed you with this Donald Trump fiasco. We've been talking about this situation with the Russians for over 35 days. And if we're talking about it for over 35 days, but the FBI knew back in July that Donald Trump and his campaign had ties to the Russians, how come we haven't gotten this information out? How come no one has chose country over political ties, or chose the country over even these so-called rules that are allocated? These are the things that we need to really talk about. Now, I do want you to call in tonight because I didn't get the phone number out. Call in 347-826-9600. Press option 1. Like I said, you know, these are the things that no one is really talking about. You know, it doesn't really take, don't take much, you guys, for these things to come out. This country has gotten away with a lot of stuff, and pretty much based off of just situations that have happened over the years. But this country is in the midst of, you know, it's already an oligarch with all these rich people being able to buy political seats. And the corporations being able to go back to monopolies. It's the return of the robber barons. And if you don't know what a robber baron is, I'll give you the definition, because I feel like a lot of times when we say things, and I went back and reviewed some of my shows, I say a lot of things that I don't give people definitions of. So I want to give you the definition of what a robber baron is: a person who has become rich through ruthless and unscrupulous business practices, originally with a reference to prominent U.S. businessmen in the late 19th century. And if you go back and you check out a look of these men during the Robert Barron era, how they got their money and how they sustained their money, they pretty much played a lot of tricks on the public to maintain their wealth. And that's what's going on right now today. A lot of tricks are being played on the American public. That political office, the White House, that we all kind of hold dear as if it's King Lil or like it's a royal throne, that thing is up for sale. And, you know, whether it's Obama, whether it's Bush or whomever, it goes to the people who donate the most money. You know, who got the most money under the Obama presidency? Not the people who voted for him the most. African Americans didn't get much, and that's why Donald Trump pointed that out. You know, it's kind of like poking fun of us about the political savvy. You know, here we are. We hit up these places all the time. We always ask for our people to vote. Now, what do we get back in return for our vote? What do we get back in return for our allegiance to the Democratic Party? That's the exact same thing that we can say for whites as well. But back to these robber barons. When you look at the robber barons, you look at the Donald Trumps, you look at the people that he's filled his cabin with, these are mostly successful people who've gotten their money through ill-gotten, you know, a bunch of ill-gotten gains, and they don't care who they got to step on or who they got to destroy to get it. With that being said, the oligarchs and the robber barons, they just take more and more. It has nothing to do with balance. It has nothing to do with making sure that the rest of the world has some. They don't think that way. They feel that most of them are rich brats, and that's been the danger this past decade or so ago since we started talking about these trust fund babies. We're talking about these spoiled brats who learn how to manipulate Wall Street or manipulate money on Wall Street. They're all from the same ties. So please, please remember, keep up. Make sure that you're educating your family members and you're talking to people about how money has influenced not only the elections, but will also start to influence some of the things that we hold near and dear. You know, the schools are going to start going to the voucher program. That's not good for our students, something that I care dearly about. The police department will become private. Just keep watching. These Republicans talk this states' rights stuff. They talk about states having the chance to do things. In my hometown of Indiana, I think I talked about this on the show once before. You go through the toll roads in Indiana, they're owned by foreign entities. They're not owned by the people of Indiana. So when you start looking at these things, these public services that you hold near and dear, maybe some of your communities are being built up based off of these jobs, man, these things are going to be privatized. If you think it's just the prisons, man, privatization is about to take a real turn in every which way. And I wish poor whites and some of these ignorant black people stop taking on this idea of, well, the rich are doing it. And if you're a middle class black person with a so-called education, you're just as bad, because what you do is you're not saying what the Donald Trumps will do, but you quote these liberal whites as if they're looking out for you. Hey, the liberal whites have been one of the thorns in the movie Get Out. If you have seen it, you have to remember, like he said, hey, I would have voted for Obama a third term. Liberal whites have no problem with voting for black Democrats. They don't mind that, as long as those black Democrats think like them, as long as they push the policies. So it's not about the skin tone, as my brother Travis Smith would say. Man, there's a lot of attractive white people out there. They just so happen to be in black bodies. So we have to be mindful of those things and make sure moving forward that Donald Trump, Donald Dump, or Donald Duck, whichever one you want to call him, is not the one that we are allowing to take us down that path. I'll be back.
Very African. Come and step in Brother Temple, see what's happening. You'll taste the bass flow coming from a zero. Tell me what a sissy know. Funk a lesson is a new flow. Stalking, walking in my big black boots. Living off the earth, eating herbs and fruits. The children await me by the mountain and the river, and gather round the fire for the scroll that I deliver. The speak of a house is from the sand to the sky, and devils ever doubt and want to measure how high. Your logic reveals you, your mind can't catch it. Dimensions of a god go far beyond brackets. Come into my oven, devils, come and you burn. I can always feel vulture with the strength and black word. You're pissing me off because you swear you're higher level. Back to your cave, get yourself together. Chili and Magilla, chocolate and vanilla. How can polar bears swing on vines with the gorillas, please? Check your reason because there's something amiss. My home is a void, you're drowning in abyss. I teach your funk code and don't preach a rap rhyme. Harambe to the sun as the mortals ask time.
Grand what time is it?
The funkin' lesson comes, the sundial speaks.
Grand verbalizer, what time is it?
The building of the strong are the lessons of the meek.
Grand verbalizer, what time is it?
My science is deep, my blackness is deep.
How deep?
Deep, deeper than Atlantis. Deeper than the seafloor traveled by the mantis. Your copycats will never know. With you the funk will never flow. But that's another blow. Make your move, thief apprentice, I'd never step. I'm a tribal move, your master hasn't figured yet. Bring your weapons to my sword and shield. What's the higher level if your shit ain't real? My mystic magic, what you gonna do? Think before you step before the rebel, silly mortal you. I tried to warn you, but your mind won't catch. You're just cookies in my oven. If I wanna burn a bat, you just burn.
Vainglorious, this is protected by the red, the black, and the green with the key, sissy.
Like this, like
that, like this. We're back. And on that note, I want to talk about my man Colin Kaepernick. Big time conversation going on about Colin Kaepernick, man. I hope you're tuning in. I hope that, you know what? When I see this thing with Colin Kaepernick, I'm always reminded of what Robert F. Williams talks about when he in Negroes and Guns. And he talks about how in the United States, because so many of our heroes have been gunned down, how, you know, kids don't want to be heroes anymore because it's hard to speak up for people when you know the chance of you speaking up means you might get a bullet in your head or, you know, get slain in front of your family or die with nothing to your name. So I'm looking at Colin Kaepernick, and I'm always reminded, because these are always interesting tales if you can really follow along. The brother took a stand based off of what he saw with the police brutality. We talked about not seeing that since President Obama has stepped down. There has not been not one big case that I've seen. Now, I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but somehow, some way, it has not made social media. It hasn't happened under Trump watch, which I find very peculiar. I really do. It's almost as if at a certain time leading up to this current political season that all the police officers was told to chill out, as if hunting season was over. But anyway, I want to go back to Brother Colin Kaepernick. And I want to say this, too, because I saw this post by Sister Linda J, who I got friends with on Facebook. She was one of the jurors in the original O.J. Simpson case. Cool sister, has a couple conversations with her on Facebook. As far as I know, she's cool. But the thing that the thing that I really want to talk about, because she wrote this post and she was saying, where is, you know, when that clown, that racist ass clown, Bill O'Reilly, jumped on Maxine Waters and pretty much, you know, called her welfare queen by stating that she likes public subsidies. Forget the fact that this woman is a tenured congressional woman who came for nothing, who pulled herself up by the bootstraps that these crackers always talk about. That she pulled herself up. She's doing a hell of a job speaking out for people who have less than, black, white, Latino, Asian, whomever. If you're in her district, she's repping her district well, better than the congressman that I have. But anyway, back to talking about Colin. Let's finish about Linda J. So Linda states that who is stepping up for Sister Maxine Waters under these attacks. And I say men like Colin Kaepernick has stepped up for Sister sisters like this during these attacks. He stepped up for the people who have been murdered. And I'm saying this because he put his livelihood on the line this is something that I feel like we have to start respecting more from each other. When we always talk about people would do anything for a dollar, and someone steps up and they sacrifice their livelihood for the people he has not even met. And I can understand that passion, that feeling, because I'll share this with you guys again. Every time I see the picture of Sandra Bland, as a black male, I don't know this sister, never met this sister. All I know is that she got murdered. I feel resonated as a black male every time to have some kind of compassion or some kind of guilt. And I'm saying that to say to all sisters, if you're listening, that, you know, no black male worth their weight in salt is wanting to see anyone do harm to you and will sit by and allow people to do harm to you. Now, a lot of brothers are not in positions to be on television yelling at Bill O'Reilly. I think that is asinine for sisters to be doing that. But I want to go back to Colin Kaepernick, because at the same time, his sister's going to run down on the NFL the same fucking way that white women ran down on the NFL for Ray Rice. Are we going to hear that? Are you sisters going to stand up for Colin Kaepernick the way you sisters ran down on Nate Parker for a rape case that he was cleared of? And if you're not, then shut the hell up. These are the things that I got to keep on saying about our people, because like I said about our melanin, we don't care about our melanin unless it's about something that's fucking cultural. If it's not about a dance, if it's not about a song, if it's not about some clothes, some hair, or how bad your city is, something where you're reminiscing, we don't really care too much about our melanin. We're willing to give our melanin away, and people know it. People know we're willing to sell out on our culture. People know this. That's why people play us the way that they do collectively, because they know, hey, all you have to do is they're going to get emotional. But, hey, man, they're always willing to sacrifice each other for the so-called greater good. And what I'm saying about Colin Kaepernick is this. Brother should have already had a job. There's no way that the cat that – what's that young cat name, man? His name is on the tip of my tongue. The guy for the Bears, he's not a better quarterback than Colin Kaepernick. The Denver Broncos were talking about picking up Colin last year. The quarterback they got is not better than Colin. The Texans, the Jaguars, the Cleveland Browns, the Miami Dolphins, the Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets. I mean, are you getting my point here? Are you getting my point? San Francisco doesn't even have a better quarterback. And the list can go on. There's a lot of teams that could, you know, Minnesota, man, please. Sam Bradford is not better than Colin Kaepernick. Arizona, I'm sorry, but my man ain't better than Colin Kaepernick. Baltimore Ravens, Joe Flacco ain't better than Colin Kaepernick. I mean, the list can go on. So, you know, Mike Glennon in Chicago is not. You know, he's not better than Colin Kaepernick. However, the one thing that Europeans know is that white people stick up for their heroes. Black people, we don't mind seeing our heroes sacrificed. We're kind of in that mindset where our heroes should be sacrificed. That's the only way they can be proven as a hero in our community now. You got to take a bullet for us. You got to take that L. It has to be a funeral. Somebody has to die in order for us to label them as a hero, for them to be a saint or a martyr. Man, Kansas City, brother, replace Alex Smith. Get on the job. Like, let's keep it real, man. There's a lot of bum quarterbacks out there. Los Angeles don't have a quarterback. Man, please. That brother should have a job in Los Angeles. You see all these teams I named? Then they compared the brother and said that he was worse than Ray Carruth. They said that he betrayed the country. And I say to any of you that are listening, because from time to time on Rant Radio, we do have bigots call in. And listen, don't forget that a brother who looked like Colin Kaepernick was the first to die for this country that you call yourself to love. Crispus Attucks, who what you call a mulatto Same thing with call brother Colin Kaepernick. Maybe they don't have the same hairstyle and the tattoos. Maybe not the same build, but hey, they are more similar in most ways. And he died first. And who prosecuted Crispus Attucks? Good old Thomas Jefferson. But Crispus Attucks was the first person to take a bullet up against the British. That's what started the Revolutionary War. Look it up. First person to die for this country. So I'm saying this to white Americans as well as African Americans. Keep this in mind. Brother was standing up for the people. You shouldn't have to take a loss to stand up for the people. Not at all. The people should be backing the people that are standing up for the people. Why do we support these oligarchs and then get upset when we don't get nothing? You support Jay-Z and Beyonce, man. Jay-Z and Beyonce ain't took an L on nothing. Tell me the deal that Jay-Z or Beyonce took that cost them money. Tell me the conversation that Russell Simmons had that cost him straight up money. I'm talking about where people don't even want to deal with him. They ain't Dave Chappelle. They ain't walk away from no $50 million. Name that Jay-Z story. Name that Beyonce story. And look, I like Beyonce, so I want to be real. I don't want sisters to think that I don't like Beyonce. I like Beyonce. I think Beyonce is a little bit more conscious than Jay, but I think Beyonce is more conscious from the aspect that her father has taught them to be independent, being children of the South. I think their dad, whether he's with the mom or not, I think he did a phenomenal job of showing his daughters exactly really what the world is like. I know they're close to their mom, and they're still tight with their mom, but the dad laid a nice way out of the ghetto, or never for them to return or go back to the ghetto in the capacity of being poor. So shout out to Matthew Knowles. But back to Brother Colin Kaepernick. So I'll tell you, Brother will be back on the team as a backup. They probably end up paying that brother the league minimum. I want y'all to keep that in mind because he had to restructure a deal. I think that cost him maybe $12 million or more. I have to look at the numbers to be accurate, but I believe it's around $12 million. But once again, he took that stand for us as a people. We have to learn how to give that love back. So if that means I got to give up my NFL ticket, then it won't be no NFL ticket this year. Brother has to be on the team. Has to be. He's deserving to be on the team because he's proven he's an NFL quarterback. Now, if you're one of those dizzy Negroes that's comparing this to Michael Sam, I'll say it one more time. Michael Sam was not on a team. Michael Sam did not, in no shape or form, make his way on the team and prove that he was a top-tier NFL caliber player. He was a college player who really didn't even have enough time in the union. I don't know how the NFL rules work. I think you got to make it through preseason to have true union representation. That's through your what they like to call your probationary period. He came out as gay before the draft. If Michael Sam would have just went on ahead, went through the whole process, kept it low, got the rookie player, NFL defensive player of the year, went out and got 10 sacks in one season and came out and said he was gay, nobody would have cut him. It would have been hard for him to cut him because somebody else would have picked him up. The thing is, you don't want to be used by these movements, black people. It's different when Black Lives Matter use you because that's just a slogan. And yeah, we know black lives do matter. But it's different when we allow these entities that are controlled by people who do not look like us, as which happened with Michael Sam. I'm glad Brother Colin didn't let that happen himself. So I wanted to bring that up in the show because, like I said, man, these are things that has been going on since I've been gone, and, you know, I want to talk about them. I'm glad, really, to be real, that we haven't had any callers because this allowed me to dig in and go a little bit deeper. I'll be back. But for now,
I'm
back ringing them, and that's where we're at. Man, it's just been so much crazy stuff going on around the world, man, and since I've been off, you know, I've had a great chance to watch Get Out. I saw the movie 3 times, man. I thought the movie was extremely, extremely dope. One thing that I will tell you about me watching this movie, maybe it's not, this is, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3. I might be exaggerating. It might be 2 times. Let me just make sure. But anyway, the one thing that I will say about this movie that I really do like is that the fact that they didn't have any known characters. I know it was a conversation up about there not being any African-American characters in the story, and we're talking about black pain and suffering. The one thing that I want to keep everybody reminded of is the movie was dope. I like Samuel Jackson, no disrespect, but, brother, you play in a lot of Caucasoid movies, man. Let's keep that real. And I did see you in the 51st Day where you was over inside of Britain. I don't want to throw no shade to the characters in the movie because we do this a lot as African-Americans when we're arguing. And this is where a lot of these brothers and sisters think we are arrogant in our approach to them and how we deal with them. I'll be real. It's amazing that in the Caribbean, inside of England, right now they're talking about reparations. Who's not talking about reparations? You get, oh, yeah, you know us. You know, we talked about a lot on Rap Radio, but that's not the conversation that's going on around the country. Like I said before, man, I get a chance. I listen to these radio shows. I try to make sure I'm hearing what's real, what's not. A lot of it is dealing with reactionary things to what Caucasians want us to talk about. And we need to come up with a game plan. You know, man, listen, sometimes the town can be burning, and I'll be talking about something else on Rap Radio because to me it's like, yo, when do we ever keep our focus and just do what we going to do? When are we just going to talk about what we need to talk about? And you know what? If somebody got killed in France, hey, yo, I feel sorry for anybody that's dead. Man, woman, or child, I don't believe anybody should be senselessly gunned down or have anything happen to them. The flip side of it, too, is even with that, we still have to make sure that we are focused on the things that our rights, our justice, we need to make sure that we're getting those things for ourselves. And we cannot police the world. We go around acting as if we could police the world. And I'm not talking about the United States. I'm talking directly to African Americans. We feel like anytime someone else does something, it's our job to step up and talk about the injustices. The movie Get Out allowed me to see that, man, we have a lot more that we need to repair with ourselves, going back to the fact that even the sister was captured up. And remember, you know, they said, they, you know what, they wanted to keep a part of the mom in the kitchen, but she was in the sister's body. And when you see at the end the photos, you say, oh, man, this white lady befriended this sister. It's we all kind of fall into this mirage when it comes to dealing with Europeans, where we're thinking there's good ones, there's bad ones, or they're all bad, they're all good. I say this, man, we put ourselves just in bad situations. We spend more time trying to figure out how to get along with them, telling ourselves that each other ain't jack, to make ourselves feel good. And my thing is that we spent more time talking about how other people wasn't nothing and how good we were to one another, we'll be great. Back to this movie, though. This movie was groundbreaking, Samuel Jackson, based off the fact that we did know the characters, based off of the fact that it did have a message. It just wasn't a movie that we were going to see some kind of random violence. It had a storyline to it. It had some substance, an old hip-hop term. It had science. Wasn't it great when we had movies that had science to it? Remember Drop Squad? Come on, remember Do the Right Thing? Right? You know, we had movies that meant something. It's great to get a movie that actually means something. You go to the movie theater for one thing and you come out with something else. That's a beautiful thing. Hasn't happened in a while, not coming from us. We're the twerking generation. We're the iPhone, Android generation. Like Dave Chappelle said, and I want to use 2 quotes from Dave. The first thing he said was, hey, how can you respect anything when you know everything? And when you really get a grasp of that, sometimes knowledge can take your emotions or your feelings or how you should be compassionate about things from things. We brag about knowing random things, but we don't brag about things that we should know. We should be able to express ourselves freely, true indeed, but we should be able to express ourselves in a way to make us, make our brilliance show, to allow our beauty to show, not just by the skin. I'm not freaked out by seeing anybody naked. So, sisters, if you showing cleavage, that don't bother me. What bothers me is that you sell your sexuality to me, and then you turn around and tell me to think more of you than your sexuality. You sell your sexuality to the world, and then you want the world to respect you beyond your sexuality. Well, you ain't showing nobody nothing else. And I ain't talking about what you show to people at your job or at your school. That's only a close knit of people that can see your brilliance. You should be showing your brilliance everywhere. Black men, the same. Why you want to show somebody you a savage? Think about that. They called you a savage already. Dog? They called you a dog already. Oh, you a gorilla. Man, they called you a porch monkey already. So what? You a gorilla now? Okay, gorilla. Like, show them how brilliant we are, how beautiful we are, how beautiful black love is, how beautiful brotherhood is, sisterhood is. Where's that at? It shouldn't just be reserved in the fraternities and the sororities or the Masonic halls or where the Eastern Stars meet up at. It shouldn't be reserved for the bougie-ass Negroes that have their little shindigs together where they don't invite nobody else who can't afford a $50 ticket. A nice tuxedo. These are things that we can show every day for free. And we'll get out. We'll get out, show me more than anything else. No matter how poor you are, no more, matter how misguided you are in your thinking. Yeah, you might love, you know, you might love white folks to death. And you might not trust black people. But there's still some value in you based off of your melanin. And you're going to get exploited for that melanin one way or another. So you better wake up to get out. We use a lot of excuses as people. And I'm telling you, when I hear my friends say, man, it ain't about race, I tune them cats out. Because everything, you come from a disposition about race. We wouldn't be in this country if it wasn't for our race. What do I mean by that? Hell, they came and got us based off of our ethnic makeup, our ethnic build, to bring us over here, first stopping off in the Bahamas, then going down to Brazil, then making their way up to the Americas for sugar. They did that based off our race. They was already slaughtering the Native Americans inside of the Bahamas, inside of South America, inside of North America. They were slaughtering those natives already. They came and got us because of our race. These are the factors that we kind of lose. We lose track of these things, man. That's why when I'm listening to these shows, and I know we go back and we borrow a lot from the ancestors, but we ain't dropping no new jewels, y'all. Like, no new jewels. Man, you better get your Claude Anderson / what's brother's name? Boyce Watkins on, man. You better stop messing with these cats that's telling you what's all bad, because on this show here, we ain't always talking about all bad. Well, we're bringing people on telling you how to build wealth and how to get your money right, get your mind right, get your wealth right, get your relationships right. No, all this stuff is hard, man. Listen, things are going to fail. We always look, I don't diss Steve Harvey because he's been in failed marriages. I diss him because he's a coon and he's a sellout. And I don't mean a sellout like racial sellout. He's a sellout to his homeboys. I know what he did with Bernie Mac to get that Ocean's 11 job. We know. That's why Bernie stopped talking to him before his death. They might have made up. But if you do that to your friend, imagine what you do to brothers that you don't know, sisters that you don't know. That's why it's easy for him to call out a Snoop Dogg. That's why it's easy for him to go get that photo out with Donald Trump. I don't care what the excuse people make. Yeah, we're going to have to send some of our people to go speak to Donald Trump. He just ain't one of those people. Neither are those buck-dancing pastors. But even with Brother Harvey, even with those pastors, there's still some worth there. Still some. I'm not saying we should bring them all the way close, but they still have value. Once we start learning how to treat each other with that value, we'll be better. We have to learn that. It has to be an everyday thing. We have to stop bickering amongst our petty differences. Because like I stated to the brother when we were talking about Russia and the U.S., man, these folks was fighting a 100-year war, and they stopped to spread white supremacy. You can say whatever you want to say about us. Oh, man, we ain't going to never stop fighting, man, BS. We ain't been at each other's throat that long. We have not been. So it's still time. You can change tomorrow. You can change today. All you have to do is decide yourself. So I will not be taking any more long hiatuses at all. There will be a Rant Radio next week. My schedule is clear every Thursday. This is what I'll be doing. This is who I'll be talking to. I'll be talking to you, the people. I love this show. I'm back in full effect. We're going to be doing things a little bit different once I get it planned out. We're going to try to figure out how can we measure up, take this show with Facebook Live, or we're going to do Instagram Live, one of the two. I've been checking out the formats. We might even do a YouTube Live where you can come on, subscribe to our YouTube channel, get some of our shows up, some of our classic shows, and then we'll start doing these shows. We're going to keep it to an hour unless the show is real hot. We had a two-hour thing going, but I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I get talked out or I'm leaving my job. I'm already exhausted, can't spend time with my children. So this is a different way. So we're going to do an hour each week, each Thursday, unless I decide to change the time, but you'll have ample time to know. But I want y'all to start demanding more. We don't need the same old same. We don't need people giving us information that we already know. We don't even need to be talking about the obvious problems. When I come on and talk to you about Trump, I want to talk about things you don't know about Trump. When I talk about Colin Kaepernick, dang it, I almost left the show without this. Here's the other way I think Colin can skin the cat, real quick. I got 60 seconds. The best way to skin the cat if he does not get a job as an NFL quarterback is that the NFLPA, which Player Association, need to hire Colin in a capacity where he's doing labor negotiations on the behalf of the players. Give him a nice salary. And the reason why you should do that is because if these owners are calling him a traitor and saying that, oh, he's a distraction and all these other things, what a best way to be a distraction or a traitor by him having to negotiate with them the salaries of the players that will dictate how much money they put in their pocket. Brother DeMaurice Smith is a genius, brother. I hope he's thinking about this. I hope the players are thinking about this. Hey, y'all, it's time to hit back and not worried about trying to figure out how they hit us. We have to hit back smart, but the best way to do that is by showing love. So I want to tell everybody out there, even those who hate my guts, I love you, and I'm not the loving type that I'm going to turn my cheek. If you hit me, I'm going to smack you back, as in what my favorite group Digital Underground would say. So with that being said, that's Rant Radio for this week. Peace, head grease, and I'll rant you next week. Ciao.